before. Forgive me. In any case, I feel like it's worth retelling. See, when in Canada, do Canadian. Okay. So during our three-year assignment in Canada, near to the Toronto area, our friends and your pastors, Juan and Shelby Britos, Shelby right here, and their kids, Nathan and Abby, came to visit in winter during snow. We, our family, had really tried to be winter while we were there. You know, like I bought skates for the family. We bought warm clothes. It did take me, however, a little bit longer to buy socks. Don't ask. It's just a thing. But anyway, our friends come. We're there. We're trying to be winter. We're trying to do our best. And I had an idea. What seemed like the greatest idea ever that would create the best memory ever in the greatest Canadian way ever. A snowy hike on an unmarked trail in freezing temperatures. This was my idea, and evidently my first mistake. The second mistake was Shelby wearing black dress boots. I don't know. The third mistake was carrying a bag of donuts picked up from a gas station the day before. Now, we all survived this hike, but barely. I want to show you a picture of us that day, just looking so happy on our hike. There we are. Look at, like, the little kids, because this was a while ago. But there it is, that time we hiked in the snow. Seriously, why would we do that was my caption there. You can't see the donuts and you can't see the boots, which is unfortunate. Maybe another time. Anyway. What can't we do? We can't take a hike down a hill covered in snow in minus temperatures in black flat sole dress boots carrying donuts from a gas station that we never planned on eating. That we can't do. Now, the better Canadian idea, and if you're watching online and you're from Canada, you could do me a little shout out right now, but the better Canadian idea would have been to sit in a Tim Hortons restaurant. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, Tim Hortons. It's a very Canadian thing, warming our hands on the cup of coffee. You don't have to drink it. You can just warm your hands on it. And ordering a donut, because they have really good donuts there, watching the snow fall gently from inside, watching it fall outside when you're in a warm, friendly neighborhood hangout spot. We learned that day, that hike, yeah, that doesn't work for us. We worked at a church once with a children's pastor. Shout out Michelle Hamilton, if you're watching. And she used to say this all the time, and I'm pretty sure it's her Insta name right now. Take a hike. Take a hike. The kids would come and they would like bug her and things like that. And she was like the best. She is the best. And she would be like, just take a hike. Get out of here. Get lost. Take a hike. See, God can't do that. God can't do what? God can't take a hike. He cannot leave you. Matthew 21, starting at verse 1. Let's go there. When they near Jerusalem, having arrived at Bethpage on Mount Olives, Jesus sent two disciples with these instructions. Go over to the village across from you. You will find a donkey tethered there, her colt with her. Untie her, bring them to me. If anyone says, what are you doing? Say, the master has need of them, and he will send them with you. This is the full story of what was sketched earlier by the prophet. Tell Zion's daughter, look, your king is on his way, poised and ready, mounted on a donkey on a colt, full of a packed animal. Verse 6. The disciples went and did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They led the donkey and colt outside, and then they laid some of their clothes on them, and Jesus got on it. Nearly all the people in the crowd threw garments down on the road, giving him a royal welcome. Others caught branches from trees, threw them down as a welcome mat. The crowds went ahead and the crowds followed, all of them calling out, Hosanna to David's son. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in God's name. as he made his entrance into Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken. Unnerved, people were saying, what is going on here? Who is this? The parade crowd answered, this is the prophet Jesus, the one from Nazareth in Galilee. In the book of Mark, chapter 11, it tells the same story, another account of the same story. And Jesus, after a little while here, he heads to the temple. He looks around for the moment, but it says in Mark that it was late. So him and his 12 friends decided, you know what? We should get out of here, go back to Bethany, get some sleep for the night. The next morning, it says they headed back to Jerusalem again. And on the way, they were hungry because they hadn't had breakfast. So up ahead, they see a fig tree. And they're like, sweet, figs. That sounds good. And then they get closer, and then they realize there are no figs on the tree, just leaves, which is really disappointing when you're hungry and you were expecting figs. So Jesus curses it, and he says, no figs when I need it, no figs for life. So that's it. You're done. You will no longer produce figs. So then they leave, and they keep going on, still hungry. Then they reach the temple. It is a disaster. If you read the account, there are money changers, there are loan sharks, there are people buying and selling, and Jesus couldn't even deal. He couldn't even deal so much that he started flipping over tables and freaking out and ran over the merchants, he said, and then there was people who were running through as a shortcut carrying their possessions to get to their house. I don't know. He's like, no shortcuts. This is a house of prayer, not a den of robbers. In Matthew, it says when the religious leaders saw the outrageous things he was doing, and then in the middle of all this, the children are running through the temple, and the children are saying, Hosanna to David's son, Hosanna to David's son. And they were like, what are these children even saying? And Jesus says, yeah, I hear them. I hear what they're saying. And haven't you read in God's word that from the mouths of children and babies, I'll furnish a place of praise? And then things just keep snowballing and snowballing. In Matthew, verse 23, he's at the temple again. It says that he's teaching, and the high priests and leaders, they come and they try to trap him in with this question again. It's just like one thing after another for Jesus this day. And they say, let me ask you a question here. What are your credentials? Where do you get off talking like this and teaching like this? Who authorized you to teach here? Jesus says, well, let me ask you a question. If you answer mine, I'll answer yours. The baptism of John thing, is that from heaven or humans? At that point, these religious people, they knew that he was setting them up. And they're like, well, if we say it's from heaven, they'll be like, well, why didn't you believe him? If we say it's from humans, then the people will get mad. So they're like, we're just going to concede that round. We don't know. And Jesus said, well, neither will I answer your question. What a few days Jesus had. And I haven't even mentioned the days leading up to this for Jesus. As he was on the way to Jerusalem with his people, he began to tell them of what was to come so they wouldn't be taken off guard, so they wouldn't just get there and, whoa, now there's a crucifixion. You know, this was what was going to happen. And he begins to tell his people about the beatings that he was about to have, about the crucifixion that was coming. Their first response, the two boys, James and John, and their mom, the first thing they said is, hey, well, after this all happens and we're in heaven, could we sit one on your right and one on your left? Like, unbelievable. You know, on the surface, these things can look so good sometimes. Am I right? Things can look so good in your life and in my life, but a closer view gives us a better insight. And this was Jesus' Palm Sunday week. On the surface with the palm branches and the donkey and the crowds, it looked so good, but all the stuff he was having to deal with. Today is our Palm Sunday. This picture coming up right here, this was my last year Easter family taken on Palm Sunday exactly 12 months ago with our mask. Cute. All right. This was the beginning of the year that everything went wrong. Right here. Have you ever had a day, though, where it seems as if everything is going wrong? You're like, yeah, it's been like every day for 12 months. No. But like this. Like, it starts like any other day, but soon things begin to spiral. I'm just going to give you like a, imagine this. Your neck is sore from an awkward sleep. Your alarm didn't go off, and you tweaked a muscle during the workout that you only got half in because you were already behind schedule. The coffee is out. It's too late to stop, though. Your banana is overripe or underripe, depending on how you like it. And the traffic is brutal, which is super annoying because isn't everyone supposed to be working from home, right? Wi-Fi is out at the office. You get a call from the school, and your child is sick. This is unfortunate, seeing as they only go 2 days a week anyway, and now you've lost one. Car is on empty. You got to get gas. Pay at the pump. It doesn't work, and it starts to rain. The school calls again because you're taking a long time, and, well, you know, COVID concerns. And it's only 9 a.m. Now, that's a morning and the beginning of a very terrible day. This was the first Palm Sunday. It may not have looked like it from the outside. It may appear with all the shouts of praise and waving palms, but there was a lot more going on beneath the surface, beneath the highlight reel. There wasn't malfunctioning alarm clocks and less than perfect bananas, I'm sure. But if there ever was a time for Jesus to want to quit, to want to take a hike, it would have been this day. It was the beginning of a week that started with shouts of praise, but quickly revealed the black hole of denial, of betrayal, of the double life of Judas, of the unfaithfulness of Peter. We get to see the weaknesses of every disciple who ended up deserting the city in the conflicting patterns of Pilate, only to end with the agony of Jesus' death on a cross between two thieves, one who hated him and despised him and cursed him, and one who truly saw him. Palm Sunday, the day of cheers, yet the start of a time when everything went wrong. Jesus entered Jerusalem for the last time. Man, the last time of something is tough. He had to plan his own parade. Planning your own birthday dinner is bad enough. It was Passover, and the city was absolutely jam-packed. And he enters Jerusalem in a way that would focus the whole city on his arrival. I mean, it seemed pretty great. The donkey, the trees, the people shouting Hosanna. So why would this day, why would these days, this week, be the time when he would want to take a hike, when he would want to just leave it all behind and quit? See, that day, he knew exactly the people he was about to face. He knew exactly the pain he was about to endure. And he knew exactly the price he was about to pay. Literally, the weight of the world was on his shoulders. So what could have made Jesus want to take a hike? And in turn, what could make us want to quit and take a hike? Doing the same. Number one, when people don't understand our ways. When people don't understand our ways. See, it was a tragic thing that that day the temple had to be cleansed. The temple was the center of Jewish worship. It was probably a majestic thing to behold if you were there. It should have been the most sacred place for God's people. But Jesus walks in and he looks around, and what he saw broke his heart because it was not what it was being used, what it was intended for. For just a moment, just picture and imagine the feelings that he would have had. going through his heart at that time that he would have to resort to such drastic measures just to get it back to the place where it should have been to begin with, flipping over tables, the mess he had to clean up. When Jesus left that night to go back to Bethany to sleep that night, I wonder what was going through his mind, because it said he did enter the temple, but it was late and he left. I wonder what he saw that night. He didn't say what he saw, but I wonder, did he see the table set up? I wonder, did he know what was going to happen here the next day? Maybe there were some people there at that point as well. I don't know. When he went home and he had back to Bethany, he had to sleep for the night. How did he sleep? What was going through his mind, knowing that the next day he now has to go deal with this mess? A mess he didn't create, but he had to clean up. Have you ever been there? Losing sleep over a mess you have to clean up. Staying awake thinking about how or when or should I, could I, will I. When people don't understand who should understand, when people don't value that should value or devalue things that are of high esteem to you and I, sometimes it makes us just want to quit. Take a hike, but God can't do that. Number one, when people don't understand our ways. Number two, when honor isn't given, that's deserved, as it should. It was tragic that day that people were unwilling to praise Jesus, that some people were unwilling. Not only were some people unwilling to praise him, but they also tried to silence the children. This was the worst, because not only are they missing it, but they are controlling a generation, saying that that is not for you to do. Jesus, worthy of all the praise, worthy of all the adoration, finally, after years of his incognito style, not really saying a whole lot, just kind of doing his thing, finally we get to see a glimpse of his majesty, of his magnificence as he enters Jerusalem the way he should have, with Hosanna and praises. And then some people started to shut it down. But Jesus didn't take a hike because he can't. And number three, when there's disinterest in the plan of God. Sometimes that makes me want to quit. When there's disinterest in the plan of God. See, it was tragic that day that the people didn't recognize God's time. Biblical prophecy was being fulfilled before their eyes, but they weren't interested. They valued more of what was, how life had been, rather than what was coming and what could be. See, Jesus' entry in Jerusalem pointed to him being the Messiah King. He rode on a donkey, which symbolized royalty. Cloaks were spread out, which was prophesied about. Palm branches were waved, and he rode on an unused animal, which was also prophesied. But even with all these signs, some people didn't get it. It was so tragic that in Luke chapter 19, it says that Jesus wept over the city, over Jerusalem, and referred prophetically to its future destruction. Luke 19:42, it says, if you, even you, had only on this day known what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes because you did not recognize the timing of God's coming to you. See, there is an importance in realizing the timing of God's coming to us. They were so focused on what had been that they couldn't receive what was now. That was a reason to quit, to take a hike. Yet he didn't. See, Jesus can't take a hike. He couldn't take a hike then. He can't take a hike now. He cannot leave you. He cannot quit you. If he was going to quit Palm Sunday, the few days before and the following ones, that would have been the time for him to do it. I have quitting days every Monday. Just kidding. I have quitting days or I just want to quit, run, and hide. But when I do, I have to find my rest in Him. I cannot do it on my own. Oh, I can hype myself up to the grind for maybe a little bit, but not long term. It's not long lasting. I have to find my rest in Him. Where do you find your rest? Where do you restore yourself? When you feel like that's all you can do, when all you want to do is run and hide, where do you restore yourself? This is where I go. Psalms 23. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath. And you send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid. When you walk by my side, your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and your love chase me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. See, the word most commonly used for shepherd is taken from the root word ra'ah, which is the Hebrew word for best friend. The unique term for shepherd is rohe tizan, lover of the flock. It's used both in this context. See, a shepherd was not just a job to watch sheep, but it was a caring father figure tending to his flock out of a deep love. Shepherds were fierce protectors of their flocks. A good shepherd knew where to bring his flock. The lush meadows were a resting place of peace, free from fear. The Greek verb to love is agapeo, which is the merging of two words and two concepts. Ago means to lead like a shepherd. And peo is a verb that means to rest. So literally, He loves us towards our rest. He loves you towards your rest. In verse 3, you let me catch my breath. So often life takes our breath away, causes us to shallow breathe or have to take deep draws just to regain peace again. In verse 3 in the Passion Translation, it says He leads us on circular paths of righteousness. So not only does our shepherd restore our breath patterns, but He leads us on circular paths of righteousness. And it is common for sheep in Israel to create circular patterns as they go up higher. On the hillsides in Israel, they literally do this. They create they form a path and a pattern, and they follow it as they go higher in circles, like driving up a mountain. This is what this psalm is referring to here. As we follow His path, we go higher, even though it may feel like we're just going in circles. We're getting higher. Friends, God can't take a hike from you. He cannot take a hike from your life. If you're tired, He makes you lie down. I feel like when I read that, He's like, lie down. He makes you lie down. You're anxious, He leads you into calm. He's like, this way, this way. I know it feels like you're going in circles, but I'm taking you higher. You're empty, He puts us under a waterfall to be drenched in His love. You're lost, He ensures your position in Him, and we are secure. See, He protects, He pilots, He prepares, and He provides. He won't, He can't, He can never leave you. There's no COVID restrictions in Jesus. He will never isolate from your life. That's not a thing. He is always in person, and there's no mask required with Him. Because there's no distance required or possible. Palm Sunday, the precursor to death, the kickstart of the resurrection. He knew it all, yet he chose to stay and do it anyway. See, he knew exactly the people he was going to face. He knew exactly the pain he was going to endure. And he knew exactly the price he was going to pay. He lived to die for you and I. Just a couple days after the resurrection, though, there was this thing. There was a couple of these guys of his friends, and they were walking on a long road to Emmaus from Jerusalem. On this road, Jesus shows up, but they didn't recognize him. So they're walking along, and they're talking, and they're sad, and after a little bit, they ask their new friend, hey, why don't you come over for dinner? We're here now. Why don't you come in dinner? During dinner, their eyes were open, and they realized this was Jesus. This is Jesus. He left that night. Jesus left, and the two friends, I can imagine, after he left, it says they began talking to each other about their experience on the road. They're like, oh my gosh, that was him the whole time. We didn't even know. And they were like recounting what it was like. And then they said this. They said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and shared the scriptures with us? See, even when they didn't know it and when they couldn't see it, they felt it still. See, Jesus can't take a hike from you because he's too busy taking a walk with you. There's three takeaways from today. Maybe you'll take more, I don't know. But there's three I'm going to list. In times of discouragement, Jesus is always closer than we realize. When our eyes are blinded from what we can see, our hearts can still feel what we can't see. Time with Jesus transforms a low-burning flame into a reignited fire, like those men on the road. See, he's with you when you see it and when you don't. So the next time you feel alone, you send that lie of the devil back to hell where it came from. You tell that lie, go talk to Jesus. Why? Because take a hike, God can't do that. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray for those watching online. I'm going to pray with you here in the room. And then I'm going to, if you need prayer this morning here in person, we're going to pray for you. Father, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you that no matter what is happening in our lives, you are faithful. You are sure. There is nothing missing in you. There is nothing broken from you. You cannot leave us even in the worst of situations. Even when it feels like you are so far away, we know that you are as close as the mention of your name and even closer still. You cannot take a hike from us. You're too busy walking on a walk with us. So I pray for those watching online right now that they would feel your closeness, that they would feel your presence, and they would know that you are the answer to every problem, that you are solution to every problem in their life right now, and that they just have to call out on your name, and you are there. In your name, amen.